Okay. Hi, everyone, and welcome to our teleclass on supporting your baby's development, why music matters. For those of you who don't already know me, my name is Jennifer Rojas, and I'm the operations director and blog editor for Mommy Bites. We're really excited for this class today. Our expert is fabulous, and I can't wait for you to hear from her. But before we do that, just a little bit about the format and logistics of our classes, in case you're new to our teleclass series. So you're all muted right now. You don't need to worry about any background noise since we've got people calling in from all over the country. And we even sometimes have people dialing in internationally. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, just relax. Don't worry about any background noise. If you'd like to ask a question during the class, it's really easy. You'll see on your event landing page in the top left corner, there's an Ask a Question button. And you just simply click on Ask a Question. A box will pop up for you to type in your question and submit it. So we'll be monitoring and answering your questions throughout the class. You can ask as many questions as you want. I know that this class is and this topic is chock full of information, and so just feel free to type in your questions as you'd like, and you can put in your name or you can leave it anonymous. We're also recording the class, so you don't need to take notes. We'll send all of you a link to the recording within a few days, along with some additional resources. So please do feel free just to sit back, relax, and enjoy the call. Before we get started and I introduce our expert, I want to give a huge thank you to our sponsor of today's class, Eastside Westside Music Together. They've been around since 1993 on the Upper East Side and the Upper West Side of New York City, introducing children, parents, and caregivers to the joys of making music. Eastside Westside Music Together offers music classes for families with children, ranging from birth, yes, birth, through second grade. Their baby classes are uniquely designed for new parents with newborns and infants up to 7 months. And for any of you who are located in New York City, Eastside Westside's baby classes begin actually this week. And you can email them at info@ESWS Music Together. So that's all one word, ESWS Music Together.com. Or text them at 212-496-1242 to receive a discount code for over 40% savings on their baby classes, which are offered at multiple Upper East Side and Upper West Side locations. And by the way, we will send you that information afterwards in an email, so you don't have to write that down. Join Eastside Westside Music Together for 8 weeks of singing, dancing, and bonding with your baby. And you can learn more at, again, ESWSMusicTogether.com. Again, we will send that out later. Our awesome expert today is Deanna DeCampos. She began teaching early childhood music classes in 1992 after having attended Music Together classes with her eldest daughter, Lindsay. She founded Eastside Westside Music Together in early 1993 with one class of 7 families. And since that first class, Eastside Westside has grown to serve nearly 50,000 families on the Upper East Side and Upper West Side of New York City, and continues to thrive as a happy place where families can sing, dance, laugh, and learn together. Music is in all of us, and it is Deanna's vision to help Manhattan families like hers grow up making music every day. We're delighted to have you here today, Deanna. So why don't you give us a little more background about yourself and share a bit of your story?
Great. Hi, Jennifer, and hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us today for Why Music Matters. My background is I grew up in California, and I came to New York in my early 20s. I had done a lot of theater in California and came to New York to perform. And I did a lot of regional theater, a little off-Broadway. I was on Broadway for one night. and then my direction took a bit of a turn when my children were born. I didn't have such a desire to perform, but still wanted to continue to make music and have an artistic, creative life. and Music Together kind of dropped in my lap when I started taking classes with my oldest daughter, Lindsay, when there was a program that had just started in New York City in the early 90s. And so shortly after I started taking that class as a parent, I took the teacher training and began teaching it as well, and then brought the program to the Upper West Side and started out with that one class of seven families, and it just continued to grow and grow and grow. I've had the honor and the privilege to be able to make music with families for all of these years on the Upper West Side and subsequently on the Upper East Side as well. And it's just been quite an amazing journey with making music with families and being a part of the Music Together world. I am also a teacher trainer, and so I travel around the world teaching other teachers how to do this work. And in addition to that, I'm the director of education for Music Together worldwide. So I am fully immersed in early childhood music, and it's been a joy and a privilege to be able to do this for so many years.
Thank you. What an amazing story. I actually feel a little bit starstruck now that you've been on Broadway. I don't think I've ever met anybody who's actually performed on Broadway. So thank you for that. And just a reminder to our listeners, do feel free to type in questions as we go along. So let's get right into it. Tell us, what are some of the developmental benefits that children get from music? Pretty basic question, but clearly you're passionate about this topic and have built an entire career and business out of it. So, tell us a bit about the fundamental developmental benefits.
Okay. So during a child's early years, music can have a really tremendous power to support the developing child in all of their growing capacities. So in addition to music being enjoyable and fun for its own sake, the act of making music and being immersed in it forges connections, really strong connections in the brain, and it integrates the mind, the body, and the emotions. It's one of the few things that we as humans do that truly lights up all areas of the brain. So our language center, our emotional center, all of the various areas of the brain are lighting up through the action and the activities of making music. So it supports a child's learning and developmental domains in addition to it being enjoyable for its own sake. When you bring the power of music into a child's life, especially in the early years, you're giving them and offering them a playful learning environment that's also immediately accessible. We provide families with a wealth of different musical experience so that they can make music with their child in class, they can make music with their child at home, and they can begin to see themselves as musical families and support their children's musical development through simple, fun, accessible activities that they can make in the classroom, at home, in the car, at the playground, and throughout their lives. Our mission is twofold, I guess. So first thing, we want to really support children in the development of fundamental basic music skills. So that is singing in tune and moving accurately to the beat. Okay, those are really fundamental music skills that we believe are as important as walking and talking. In my own opinion, I feel like swimming is one of those things that all children should learn to do. It's an important skill. Learning to sing in tune and move accurately to the rhythm and being comfortable and confident as the music maker, to me, is also one of those essential life skills that we should all be able to do. What we do in Music Together is that we support that development. So the other piece of what we do is we support adults' development of their own musical skills. So we not only want children to develop these basic music skills, but we want adults to feel confident being music makers as well. This isn't a program that's about a family coming in and the teacher singing to the families and making music for the families. This is about the Music Together teacher really facilitates everybody making music together so that we become a community of music makers, so that it's about all of us, not just me, the teacher, teaching for you, but about all of us, because your children learn to be who they are by watching you do what you do. So when you go home, it's the music that you're making outside of the classroom and in your daily life that really makes the difference in your child's development. So we want to give you the tools and techniques to be music makers yourself so that you can then pass that along to your children through your own activities.
That's really great. And you actually said some things that really resonated with me as well. It is from a personal standpoint. You know, my parents, they were pretty young parents back in the early 70s. I'm dating myself. But there was always music in my home. And, you know, always, you know, dancing and a joy around music. And so it occurred to me that I actually have some of my earliest memories, even when I was like 1 or 2 years old, which was a long time ago, they're linked to a song or some kind of music. That really, you know, kind of to underscore what you said about developmental benefits and just how deeply music affects us, you know, at just such a core level.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned the adults getting involved, but going back to the children, you know, in terms of benefits, how do the benefits of music change as your baby develops? So for babies versus, say, preschoolers.
Right. So getting into some specifics about the different developmental domains that active music making supports. So thinking about music making in terms of really actively making music as opposed to simply listening to music. So listening to music is great, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, and I think that there are plenty of benefits that go along with listening to music. But actively making music is what really, as I said, lights up the brain and really makes the difference in the developmental domains that I'm going to talk about right now. So we've talked a little bit about music development, so that's singing in tune and moving accurately to the beat. Language development, so if you're thinking about songs that have lyrics and rhyme, the active listening skills that are required for children to learn and be immersed in while they're immersed in music experiences. Pre-literacy skills go along with making music and singing different songs with lots of different vocabulary. By the same token, we do lots of songs that have no words at all. And if we know from research that children will sing songs without words sooner and more accurately than they sing songs with words. So if you have infants, for example, who are not taking in, who are not comprehending language, they're taking it in, but they're not able to express it yet, but they can express musical sounds. So you might hear a baby cooing, ah, on a tone that's the same tone that we're singing in. So they're able to participate and activate their mechanism, their singing mechanism, very, very early on, because we're singing songs that don't have words, in addition to songs that do have words. Social emotional development is supported through active music making. That means that self-confidence, self-regulation, leadership skills, all of those things are supported through the types of activities and songs that we do in our curriculum. Cognitive development, so emerging math skills, executive function. Executive function is something that's very, very important. It's our ability to take multiple pieces of information and to discern meaning, to make choices about all of those, the different pieces of information that are coming in. Self-regulation is a part of cognitive development. Understanding cause and effect. All of those types of learning, physical development, approaches to learning, all of those different developmental domains are supported and nurtured through simple music activities that we immerse ourselves in through all of us making music rather than others making music for us. So part of your question was about how that shifts as children get older. And one of the things that we know is that, first of all, we have to have the tool in order to use it. So the tool that I'm referring to is our ability to sing in tune and move accurately to the beat. So that's the tool. That's the music-making tool that we can use. In order for it to really fully support all of those developmental domains, and in order for us to gain all those benefits in all those developmental domains, we have to be able to make music. And the way children learn how to do that is simply by being immersed in it. Music learning happens in a very similar way to language learning. So if you think about how language develops in young children, we speak to our children even before they come out of the womb, oftentimes. Our hearing is in place at about 4 months in utero, right? So we're using speech and we're using language for many, 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 many months before we actually hear what sounds like a word come out. So da-da, right, is usually one of the first ones that we hear coming out at several months of age, right? So we speak to our children in full sentences with lots of different vocabulary for many, many, many months before they start expressing language. And over time, it takes 3 to 4 years for children to really get fluent in language and many more years for additional vocabulary and deeper understanding of language and grammar continues to build over time. Music learning actually follows a very similar path to language learning, where children really need to have all of that reception of music. So we need to make music for them, sing lots of songs, dance, and make all kinds of music for them and immerse them into music and immerse ourselves in it in order for them to be able to take in all that information. So if we create the music environment just like we create the language environment, then the learning happens very naturally. Does that make sense? And so as a child grows and as their music learning deepens, the benefits that they can gain from their ability to sing in tune and ultimately sing in tune and dance and move accurately to the beat shifts as their music learning deepens.
This is really, it's amazing stuff, the depth and breadth of how music and making music affects development and at different stages. It's huge. And yeah, we've actually, we've got a couple questions from our callers. You know, and you talked about the benefits changing as one grows, and you know, we mentioned that you start singing to baby early on, really from infancy. And so one of our callers is curious as to why sing to my baby when they don't really respond to anything. But
okay,
I'm wondering if maybe they actually do. And so because it just seems so early, so why sing to your baby?
So I think they actually do respond, but the difference is we don't, and as new parents, and even when I was in, even as a musician, when I was in music together with Lindsay when she was a baby, I didn't recognize the musical, her responses as music behaviors either, because there's not a lot that, we know a lot as music teachers and as music educators, we know how music develops across time in young children, but it's not commonly known the way we know language develops. So one of the things we help parents to understand in class is how that development works so that they can support it. If you bring an infant, say, into a musical environment, what we know is babies will actually, if you hear a baby singing or cooing, let's say, I call it singing, but it's cooing, So if I'm singing a song like, hello everybody, so glad to see you, and so on, and I hear a baby go, they're responding. They're actually responding to the music that we're making. Their
Amazing.
Responses are coinciding with the singing that we're doing. And we also know, and this is one of the most fascinating things about what I do, and I still am in awe when I hear it happening, is infants will actually adjust their cooing pitch to the tones that we're singing in. So they will really tune in to what we're doing, literally tune in to what we're doing. So we know that infants are really wired to respond to music. So by singing to them, by dancing with them, they feel the rhythms through our actions, right? If you infants do what we call a characteristic gesture. So a characteristic gesture is if your baby is lying on the floor or on the changing table or on your bed and they're at that alert time of day, they will, if you're interacting with them and smiling with them and cooing with them, maybe you're singing with them, and they're kicking their arms and their legs and they're smiling and cooing back and they're active and alert, those responses are in response to your actions towards them, right? In a music class, like what we do, those babies are also responding when we're singing to them. So those movements are what we call a characteristic gesture when they're infants. As they gain more physical acuity over months and years, those characteristic gestures will actually start to coincide with beat. And over the first 3 or 4 years of a child's life, if they're provided with adequate music experiences and opportunities to really just simply play with music, what those characteristic gestures are what started out as fairly random kind of movements that were in response to music become much more honed and much more defined to align with the beat. And so what looks random in the very beginning actually becomes rhythmic behavior later on. So that learning is starting from the very, very beginning, just like our language learning is starting from the very, very beginning of their lives. So providing that environment from the get-go really helps infants get that information that they need in their brain and in their what we call receptive system so that they can really take all that information in, and over time it starts to unscramble itself and make sense, just the same as learning language does.
That's really amazing. Are you saying in a way, or maybe directly, that those characteristic gestures of babies, that mm-hmm. kind of kicking, would you say that is actually a precursor to dancing?
Sure, absolutely. I would say that's a baby's way of dancing. One of the activities that we do in our baby class is what we call dancing for baby. And the way we set it up is we scooch, if you have, say eight or 10 babies in a class, we'll scooch all of those babies into the circle. They're all on their receiving blankets, and we scooch them all together so that their heads are all in the center, and it looks a little bit like a wagon wheel. And all the grown-ups stand up around them. I'll put some music on, and we'll actually do a choreographed dance around the babies. And we'll sing and interact with our own babies and dance in front of them, but we'll also move around the room and interact with every baby that we encounter as we go around the circle. And it's all choreographed. It's all very simple dance moves, nothing that's too hard, nothing that the grown-ups can't do. And what happens is those babies are alert, and their arms and their legs, they're kicking, and they're cooing, and they're making sounds that are excited. And it's really a remarkable thing to see how these babies are responding to not just their grown-up making music, but all of these big people dancing around them. It's very powerful. On occasion when I teach workshops to other teachers, I will put some teachers in the center of the room, and I'll have them get down on their backs and take in the experience as if they were an infant. So they have the perspective of the baby in the class. And if you ever do that as a parent, it's really powerful to experience all of that movement and energy around you, and that's what the babies are feeling, and it's really amazing, and the parents, the moms, and the dads, and the caregivers, they love it, and the babies are just vibrant and alive. It's really wonderful to see.
It just sounds incredible. I mean, you're witnessing like joy and development happening all at the same time on everybody's part. It sort of leads me into another question, or we have another question from the audience. It sort of leads into the next question about really how young, the question is about, should I really take my infant to class? Are they too young? And so how young can they actually start? Are they really getting something out of it? I think you maybe addressed that just before, but tell us a little more about that.
Okay, so they are getting something out of it from very, very early on. It's never too early to start, in my opinion. We've had infants as little as 3 weeks old. Sometimes that might be a sibling of an older child who's already in our class. But in our baby classes, we've had infants as young as 3 or 4 weeks old. And they are absolutely responding. They're taking in their world and through their eyes, through their ears, through the senses, and through the interactions that they're having with their grown-up. There's something that neuroscientists call brain architecture. Brain architecture is really the building of the brain, and it happens very early in life. And usually in that first year of life, much more of the brain architecture is happening than at any other time in their life. And brain architecture is essentially we're born with billions of neurons. And pretty much most of the, if not all of the neurons that we're going to have for our entire life. But only a small percentage of those neurons are connected at birth. And in order to connect and strengthen all of those neurons in the brain, we need to have lots and lots of important, meaningful interactions with our grown-ups, okay? So one of the most major components of brain architecture is something that we call serve and return. Serve and return are experiences between an adult and an infant, where if you think about your baby, and your baby might babble, or coo, or cry even. And when you hear that or see that happening in your infant, you will go to your infant and you will provide a meaningful response to them. So if your infant cries, you're going to go over and try to figure out what they need from you, right? You might talk to them. You might look at them. You might pick them up and hold them. So all of those things are what we call meaningful interactions, and that's the return from the infant's serve. It's kind of like a ping pong match, right? The more meaningful serve and return experiences that your infant has, the stronger those neural connections become. And the more strong and the more of them, of those neural connections that you have in the brain, the stronger the brain architecture that develops, okay? And that's going to set up all of the learning, it's really the foundation upon which all future development is built, is the brain architecture. And by the same token, we also know from research that infants and children, young children who don't get enough serve and return experiences, or they get negative serve and return experiences, also affects brain architecture in a negative way. And that's much harder to turn around as a child grows up than it is to provide meaningful experiences early on. So all of that being said, goes back to why start doing it very early on. It's never too early to start doing it, because there's so much happening in that first year of life and in the first 3 or 4 years of life that it's our window of opportunity to really provide the best, the strongest experiences and the most meaningful experiences we can early on in the child's life. It also helps us as parents to develop ways of interacting, ways of bonding with our children that are really important. And because we know parenting is exhausting, music can help you throughout your day. So it's something that can serve you as well as it serves your baby's development.
Wow, that's huge. So really, to start them early and often, essentially.
Yes,
it's right. never too early. And so what can new mothers expect from this class that might be different from other baby music classes? Because, you know, there are a lot of baby music classes out there. What makes Music Together unique?
So I think one of the most important things that makes Music Together unique in our particular music program is that we ask all adults to participate. We want everyone to be music makers. So it's not about the families coming in and just kind of the parents and the caregivers hang out on the sides of the room or lean against the wall and look at their devices or chat with their neighbors while the teachers entertain or interact with their kids. This is really about all of us making music as a community and helping parents to become music makers themselves, so that you can have those tools and techniques to keep making music outside of class, because that's what we really want. We want you to be a musical family, because that's how your children are going to learn to ultimately be musical, by having lots of immersion, lots of exposure, and by having grown-ups in their lives who show them how to do it by simply modeling doing it. One of the things, I think I said this earlier, is our children learn to be who they are by watching us do what we do. So if you think about reading books, if you want your child to be an avid reader, what you do is you read to them. And if you want your child to have good manners, you have to model good manners also. If you want your child to be a music maker, if you want your child to be able to sing and move accurately to the beat, then that's what you do, right? You don't have to have perfect skill in order to do that, because your children will learn skills from lots of different sources. We have radio, we have CDs, we can live stream lots of different music, we can go to concerts, we can go to the theater, but your children will learn the love and the joy of wanting to do it from you. And so that's what we're supporting in our classes. So my analogy to that is, if there's a dad who loves baseball, right? He's not a professional ball player, he just loves the game. And he wants to share that joy of baseball with his kids. So he doesn't hire a professional baseball player to teach his kids how to play baseball. He goes into the backyard and he tosses the ball and he swings the bat and he takes them to games and he enjoys the game himself and he shares that joy with his kids. That's the same with music, with asking parents to participate in our class. It's not about being perfect. It's just about doing it for the joy of doing it and enjoying yourself and having fun. So I think that's really different from what some other music programs might do, where they don't ask as much. We do ask a lot of parents and the caregivers, and sometimes sometimes it might be out of someone's comfort zone a little bit to sing, and levels of participation are different for everybody, and that's okay. We're okay with that. But we want you to immerse yourself just as much as your child is being immersed.
So it sounds like it really is very important for parents to get involved in their child's music education for a number mm-hmm. of reasons. And so you mentioned some of those parents who aren't as comfortable. Do you have some tips for those non-musical parents who aren't sure how to do this? I know personally, I love music. I listen to music all the time. I sing by myself. I wouldn't want anybody else mm-hmm. to hear it, but I have immense stage fright trying to do it in front of anybody else. And so right. even my closest loved ones. So it would scare me. So what are some yeah. tips for those non-musical parents?
Okay. So the first thing that I usually tell parents who don't feel like they can sing is just go ahead and sing louder anyway, and don't listen to those people who tell you to stop. because I think I've said this already, music, being able to sing in tune and sing and dance and do it with ease and confidence in the music of our culture is just as important as walking and talking. And we have the same capacity to do it as we do to walk and talk. We have the potential to do it, right? I've seen so many parents in our program through the years and through all of my years of teaching actually start singing better simply because they're having opportunities to sing where they're not being judged, where the teacher is not judging them and not telling them not to sing, and they're just having fun and enjoying sharing the experience with their child. So we like to say, go ahead and sing anyway. I don't care if you're singing out of tune. It doesn't matter to me. My best friend in California, we've known each other since elementary school, and she doesn't completely sing in tune. But she, for all of her years, her kids are, my daughters are now 25 and 22, and her sons are about the same age. And she sang to them all of their lives. And it wasn't until they were in high school that they were like, Mom, you're not singing in tune. But they also said they didn't care, and that's not what they remember about them, about her singing to them when they were growing up. They remembered that she sang to them, and that was a really valuable thing to them. And now her kids love to sing themselves. One of them works for an independent guitar maker, one of the few craftsmen left in the country, and just loves making music himself. And so she gave him that gift, not by doing it perfectly, but just by doing it. And that's an important takeaway, I think, for parents who don't yet feel comfortable doing it. Just go ahead and do it anyway. Don't tell anybody who tells you not to, they're wrong.
That is just a huge, huge lesson. And hopefully you will have inspired some folks, as you said, to sing louder. You have yep. inspired me. So.
Well, thank you. Good. I'm glad.
That's great. So Music Together, the Music Together program started in the 1980s, and yeah. East Side, West Side Music Together has been around since 1992, which in my mind, I think that wasn't that long ago. It kind of is.
Yeah.
So how has it survived in New York, especially, for so long? What is the secret in the music sauce at East Side, West Side?
So just a brief history of Music Together. It was started in the Princeton area in the 80s by Ken Gilmartin and Dr. Lily Levinowitz. Ken started actually at really piloting what he wanted to do at his daughter Lauren's preschool in Montclair, New Jersey. And his uncle was a music publisher and of the Suzuki books, actually. And what they knew about the Suzuki books was they sold half as many book twos as they sold book ones. And so they wanted to find out why that was the case. And what they learned was the parents who didn't tend to participate as much in their child's music education in the Suzuki program didn't tend to continue with that program, which is why half as many sold. So Ken's uncle really kind of tasked him with figuring out, well, how do we get parents to participate? What do we need to do to help parents support their child's music development? in a stronger way. And so Ken started to kind of play around with different ideas. He was a composer. He's done lots of, from blues to jazz to opera to musical theater for many, many years. And so he started playing around with how he could do that. So he brought Lily Levin with him, who was a music educator of some renown, and they started developing this program, which was very much participation-based. It was the first early childhood music program of its kind to be really focused on the adult participation and where that had the biggest impact on the child's learning in the long run. And so Music Together developed out of that idea that we all have the capacity to be able to sing in tune, but we also need the adult participation and the adult's modeling in order to support a child in getting there. So when I came in to the picture as a mom in a Music Together class, Music Together was only about 5 years old. It's pretty much in its infancy. And there weren't a lot of other music programs around. Kinder Music did exist, but it was only for older children. So Music Together was the first program that was really about the birth through age 5 age group, the really early childhood. And so there wasn't really anything else around to do. And so that's probably one of the reasons why we grew so big and so fast, was because there weren't other things to do, but Music Together's really solid research-based curriculum and educational methodology, I think really spoke to people. And the reputation that we built based on word of mouth, essentially all those years ago, I think really has held its own because of how grounded and how solid the program is in and of itself. The teachers are well trained. Everyone has to take a 3-day training and beyond in order to teach Music Together. Because I'm a teacher trainer and I get to travel around the world to teach teachers around the world to do it, I have a really strong focus on making sure that my teachers at Eastside Westside are at the very top of their game. I like to think of Eastside Westside as the Broadway of Music Together programs around the country. and so even with all of the other music programs that are out there now, and there's so many, not just music programs, but there's so much for parents to choose from nowadays that I can't imagine. I kind of am appreciating that I didn't have so many choices back then. And it must take a great deal of time and thought and effort to really figure out what suits you best as a family and what kind of programs you want for your child and for your family. And I think Music Together, Eastside, Westside, has thrived for so long because of word of mouth, because families know our reputation as an educational program, and because we've really stuck with the heart of what we do and haven't veered away from that. We have the programs that we do. We've added a few programs, but they maintain the core methodology of what we do, and I think that's really why we've been able to stick around for so long, because it sure is a different landscape than it was in 1992.
Oh, that it's wonderful. Music Together has such a solid foundation, such a solid model, and then it's about really building that community, as you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like, you know, obviously when people get together in the class, the parents and the children and the babies, it's all great. And there's this wonderful connection. And mm-hmm. What are some ways that parents out when they're not in the class, how can parents incorporate music into their child's lives?
Okay. I love this question. These are, I like to call them musical parenting hacks. So there are, I think it's easier than people think it is. And once you start to do it, it becomes a natural progression of how you parent, adding music into your parenting. So there are using music to help out with everyday activities. So we know that when a child is in elementary school or even in preschool, you know, the ABC song is a great example of helping children to learn their ABCs, right? And there are other things. I remember learning all of the states in alphabetical order when I was like in fourth grade, and I remember the melody to this day, and I can remember those, all of the states in alphabetical order because of that melody. And so music has been used as a tool for teaching other things, but music can also be used as a tool for doing things. So rather than using the ABC song, for example, to teach ABC, which is great, but to use making up your own songs. Like you can take a melody like Row, Row, Row Your Boat and use it during bath time. So it might become the ritual song that you do in bath time. You might sing, row, row, wash, wash, wash your hair, splash, splash around. Merrily, 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 glub, 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 glub. Or, you know, some make up your own words to, let's see, pew, 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 time to change your diaper, pew, 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 let's get all clean. Or, you know, some, it doesn't matter what the words are. It doesn't have to rhyme. It doesn't even have to make sense. I remember when my kids were little, you know the song Rubber Ducky? Rubber Ducky, you're the one from Sesame
yes.
Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, my daughters had a little rubber ducky in the bathtub. And in order to keep them in the bathtub, I had to sing that song ad nauseum for 20 minutes. But did it work? It did. And it was, you know, we scrubbed our hair and we shampooed and we washed our bodies while we sang the song. And it when we put things like that, when we put tasks to music or when we have to get through an activity like putting on our socks or putting on our winter coats and our hats, it helps to add music because it takes the stress away. It distracts from the angst that's happening for whatever reason in your children. My daughter Rose used to hate socks. In the middle of winter, she would absolutely hate socks. And she would have a tantrum moments before we would leave the house, as is typical, right? And
yes.
So finally, out of all of my frustration, I just started singing one day about putting on her socks. Twinkle, twinkle, little socks, let's put on our little socks. And suddenly, you know, the tears got wiped away, and you could see the taking a big breath and breathing it in and trying to calm herself and putting on those socks, and that the sounds of the melody, the song that was familiar, the lyrics that were helping her to cognitively take in what she needed to do, all really helped to diffuse the situation. Which as parents, we need to find ways how to do that, and helped me calm down and get through the moment. And from then on, using music to help her put her socks on, which seems like, you know, a simple thing. Let's just get those damn socks on and get out the door, right? But using music to do that was just ended up being so valuable to me. And, you know, you just think that... You'd think that I would have known how to do that, but it's oftentimes not our first response. And when you can start to kind of build some of those techniques and have some of those songs, they can be songs you know. It doesn't have to be any terrific song. Use Twinkle Twinkle. Use Row Row Your Boat. Use some song that you like to help move you through those moments that are tricky. Oftentimes the hardest moments of the day are transitional times for children, whether it's getting dressed or getting in their car seat or their stroller or taking a bath or eating, children who have eating issues. Yummy, yummy little peas, I like to eat my yummy peas. singing songs while you're eating your breakfast or your lunch or whatever you need to do can really, really help. I would encourage you to try it and see how it works for you and your little one. The other really, really important time, I think, to sing in everyday life is at bedtime. If you don't sing to lullaby to your child up until now, I highly recommend go do it tonight if you've never done it before. Just do it again. Your voice doesn't need to be pitch perfect. Your rendition of a song is what's going to be remembered. And I have a little lullaby story about Rose, my youngest, that I'd like to share. When both of my daughters were infants, I chose a different song for each of them that I wanted to share with them, and I wanted it to kind of be their song and my song. And so Lindsay had I sang one particular song to Lindsay when she was a baby, and then I chose a different song for Rose. And I sang that song for Rose pretty much every night of her early life until she wouldn't let me sing it anymore. And so she was probably about 7 when she was like, "Mommy, let's sing something else." And so that particular song kind of faded out of our repertoire. And then when she was 13 and she was having her bat mitzvah, both her mom and I, her dad and I, went up to on the dais to give a speech or do whatever we wanted. Her dad came up and he gave a speech and embarrassed her, as we do on those occasions. And I wanted to share a song with her. And so I went up on the dais and I brought her up with me. And I started to sing this particular lullaby that I had sang for her when she was a baby. And she just melted. And I melted. And the whole temple melted. And it was a really powerful experience for us. And for her and I, it was... it's a song that was our bonding song, and it was a song that was just important for her and I, and it had a very powerful response for her at her bat mitzvah, and it still resonates. I think she still hears that song, and it brings back so many memories and of her early childhood and of that bedtime ritual that we shared together. I like to think of music as a container. It kind of, if you think about to our own adolescence, and you were saying this very early in the call about how some of your earliest memories are from music in your home. And I think, like to think this is the same kind of thing that came up for Rose when I was singing to her at her bat mitzvah, is that music is a container for our emotions and for times in our lives. Like we probably all have a song that we remember that is associated with our first love or our first dance or our first this or our first that, right? And for some of us and for our children, they also have music that's a container. And for Rose, that particular song was a container for her for our relationship early in her life. And that's really, really powerful. And I think it can be one of the most special things that you can do with your child is to sing them a lullaby. Choose a song that you love. Doesn't have to be a lullaby, quote unquote lullaby. It can be anything. Any kind of, song that you love from your own high school or adolescence or your own childhood. Maybe it's something that your mother sang to you or your father sang to you. And share that with your child. And I think it can become a really special time for you.
You have given such powerful examples of how music is that container. I actually got choked up when you were talking about singing at your daughter's bat mitzvah. And I can also relate to really hating socks, too. I still don't like socks, but yeah. It sounds like that was a real win-win.
Yes.
And that it can be, singing can be a real win-win during those transitional moments. And you know, for both the parent and the child. But really you have given some fantastic examples of how powerful it can be. So we really appreciate that. So I hope that our listeners will go home immediately and start singing with their children. So just a quick reminder before we run out of time, I'd like to really thank East Side, West Side Music Together again for putting together this highly enlightening, informative, and moving teleclass. Their sponsorship of today's class continues to allow moms from all over the country and even all over the world to take our classes at no cost. And also, if anybody does have any last questions, you've sent in great questions today, audience, feel free to type them in. And if not, we'll move along to our last question. And so we're curious, Deanna, if you actually took the baby class with your children, and what, if you did, what was that like being a mom and teacher?
Okay. So when Music Together first started, they didn't actually have baby classes. So the typical and the kind of quintessential Music Together class has always been what we call a mixed age class. So that's for all children from birth to 4 or 5. Baby classes didn't come around until a little bit later. So I took a mixed age class with Lindsay and with Rose during their early years, and they not only learned from me being with them and us as a community making music together, but in a mixed age class, infants have the advantage of also learning from older children. So that was one of the benefits that Lindsay got from being in and Rose got from being in a mixed age environment. Babies classes have their own really wonderful benefits for the littlest babies and new parents as well, to have an opportunity to meet other families. And we do some specific types of activities in their baby classes that we don't necessarily do in our mixed age classes, because they're designed for non-mobile infants. Okay. But I think one of the things that I loved about the class that I took with my kids was that I got to learn how to observe them and learn how to see how they learned. And both Lindsay and Rose were really different in temperament and different in their learning styles. And Music Together provides a kind of what we call accept and include kind of environment, where we get to, there's no judgment. We want adults to participate, but we also get to let go of our expectations of our children and just allow them to play and discover and explore the musical environment that they're in. So I think that was one of the things that I really loved about Music Together and my experience in it as a parent. And it also, it kind of helped, I think, that me and my kids and my husband became a musical family really because Music Together helped get us started. Even as a musician, it wasn't clear to me how music making in their early lives really made a difference. But I really started to understand that it did, and that our making music as a family really kind of changed who we are fundamentally as a family, and it helps to identify who we are now. And we still get to share music at family events. We tend to sing, and it just becomes a kind of a natural kind of progression of what we do as a family. Lindsay, my oldest daughter, was working on a project last year, and she wanted me to help her with write a theme song. And I said, well, I'm not going to write it for you. Let's write it together. So I got my guitar, and Lindsay got out her ukulele, and we started kind of just playing around with singing singing, and a melody kind of emerged out of our kind of playfulness. And an hour and a bunch of laughs later, we had this fun, cute theme song that she needed for her project. So it was a really wonderful example to me of how music continues to inform who we are as a family, and it continues to provide us with really wonderful bonding moments, even as adult children. And I cannot tell you how important that is to me now, and how much I appreciate that that's a way that we can be together. And it's hard to see it when your children are little, but believe me, now that I have adult children, it is priceless. I don't think that there's any other way that I can put it. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Absolutely. And this has been fantastic. And you've been great, Deanna, and audience. You've been great sending wonderful questions. We know that Deanna's gone over a wealth of terrific information today, and really important information. So once again, within the next few days, we'll be sending you a link to the recorded class for your ongoing reference and support, along with some resources. And I will also send you the information that I mentioned earlier in the session about their classes beginning this week, and some opportunities for some discounts. So a huge thank you, Deanna, for your wonderful expertise. Clearly, you're not only a true expert, but also very passionate about this topic, and that really, really enriches the class. And so thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Just a reminder, we'll be sending you out the link. I think I mentioned that. And we hope to connect with you all again soon. Thank you so much, and have a great rest of your day.
Good. Jennifer?
Yes.
Can I jump in and add one more thing?
Absolutely.
Maybe a few people are still on here. If there
yes.
are people who've called in from other parts of the country and other parts of the world, Music Together is not only in New York City, it is worldwide. So if you're looking for a Music Together class in your area, just go to musictogether.com. That's the national website. And they have a site locator where you can just plug in your zip code and you'll find the Music Together locations near you.
Okay. That's great. Thank you for mentioning. Yeah, thank you so much for mentioning that. Wherever you are, you can find Music Together. So, again, thanks, everybody. And we hope to connect with you again soon.
Great. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you for staying on the call. Take care.
Bye.